this morning we are talking about issue of the heart, and so we are really in the midst of playoff football, right? And with that comes the ability to have a lot of commercials, a lot of advertising, right? And we're coming up on a day when advertising is at its highest, right? It's a big day. It's a big thing. And that's, of course, is what? The Super Bowl. And during the Super Bowl, there's so many advertisements, so many new commercials. Typically, they're really funny. Typically, they catch your attention some way. And, of course, that's what they're supposed to be doing, is catching your attention so they can sell their product, right? And many of us have seen these wild and funny TV ads that go along with the Super Bowl, if you watch that. But back in 2008, so context, that's 1 year after I graduated high school. back in 2008, fans in Texas got a shock during the game with one of the advertisements. Now, being in college at the time at Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas, if you ever want to go there, it's a really great town, but I don't really remember this commercial. I was in Texas, so I would have been capable of seeing it. But to be fair, I never really watched the commercials, because during the commercials, that was prime going to get snack time, right? So I don't want to miss the game, so I got to get my snacks during the commercials. But there was an ad by a company named AshleyMadison.com. And it was seen as an inappropriate ad by the NFL and NBC, which I don't think would be seen as inappropriate today by the NFL or NBC. But back then it was. And the local affiliates in Texas, though, decided that the $250,000 for this 30-second spot was too much to turn down, so they ran it. And this 30-second commercial was an ad for an online dating service, right? But not for single people. It was specifically dedicated to married people, okay? And it showed a couple at a restaurant on their wedding anniversary, and the man was an obnoxious jerk, and he was on his cell phone the whole time during supper. And then after dessert, he got up and left and said to his wife, "Well, happy anniversary, honey," and he left. And the voiceover, who was targeting the woman, said this: "Isn't it time for AshleyMadison.com?" Right? The company owner defended the ad by noting that he was just simply providing a service for people wanting to be honest about their displeasure with marriage, right? He stated that the service was actually started in 2001, right? And after reading that 30% of people signing up for single dating service were actually married, okay? So I share this story because today we are coming to a portion of the Sermon on the Mount that is distinct biblical doctrine that is often overlooked or even ignored sometimes, right? In this portion of his message, Jesus dealt with the immorality of adultery and emphasized the importance of morality among believers, right? Many assume that adultery is too touchy of a subject to speak from the altar, or the pulpit, sorry, or even in a public manner. We don't like to talk about it. It's not something that we just go around and discussing a lot. But clearly, Jesus didn't hold that view, right? He didn't hold that point of view as he preached against the sin of adultery and presented a challenge to abstain from engaging in such activity, right? I'm convinced that much of the problem we face into society today is the direct result of not being preached from the pulpit, right? We have to speak about the hard things just as much as we have to speak about the easy things. I will admit that it wasn't easy to address this topic, but it needs to be preached so humanity will know what the Bible teaches and what God expects, right? This passage deals with an issue that brings great damage and destruction to countless relationships, countless families, each and every year, okay? It's a hard subject to talk about. It's a touchy subject. But surely, church, we need to be educated and warned regarding the potential for such activity, and we need to be able to challenge ourselves to refrain from it at all cost. So as we move verse through verse, these verses this morning, I pray that we'll have an open heart and minds to what the Word says, so we can receive the benefits, instruction, beneficial instruction God has preserved for us, right? And if you haven't turned there already, we are in Matthew 5, 27 through 30. So I encourage you to turn with me there this morning. So, of course, we know through Scripture that God created man, He created woman, He performed the first marriage Himself, right? The union between them, and He set that system in motion right there. One man, one woman married. That's it. I pray for us that we will determine to live according to the commands and desires of our Lord and follow that plan. Amen. So I want to look at details of this passage as we consider an issue of the heart. Okay? And we're going to begin in verse 27. And Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 27. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.'" Okay? So this is the original issue right here. Do not commit adultery. Don't let the simplicity of that statement fool you, right? Because it reveals much that we have to consider. Okay? And we're going to look at some of those things. First thing we're going to look at is that it shows the sovereignty revealed here. So, Jesus speaks of an old saying that had been handed down from generations to generation to generation to generation to generation, right? The Jews knew these commands. They knew them. The pure conscience of man, if nothing else, reveals that adultery is wrong. But Jesus emphasizes an even greater presence in regard to this command. Okay? Here he's referring to, of course, the seventh command that God gave Moses, right? And that you shall not commit adultery. These commands, the Ten Commandments, are recorded in God's Word, right? The Jews, well, they knew God's commands. They knew that God commanded it, that they refrained from such activity. God has said that we shall not commit such an act, right? But church, we live in a society that has pretty much abandoned the Word of God and its teachings, right? That's the society we live in. Most are encouraged to live as they please, and in many aspects, the laws of America that were founded don't really even align with Scripture anymore at all, right? Many, man may agree and even encourage such sinful activity. But one thing is clear, God is very clear regarding what He expects and demands of us, right? A sovereign God has declared that we are to refrain from the act of adultery. That's what it says. So, it also shows this morning that the severity is revealed here. So this is not something God wished for us to refrain from, or it isn't something that He would rather us not do, okay? God is very clear, right? He's very clear and empathetic in His Word, and He says, do not commit adultery. Jesus in no way reflects the idea that is it accept that it is acceptable to some or certain people. Okay? According to God's word, church, it is never acceptable. Under any circumstances, is it acceptable? Just as it is in our society today, many Jews were guilty of this sin. They knew what God's word said, and yet they chose to ignore this fundamental teaching. The dictates and the desires of society, right, have never changed the relevance of God's word. Even though they want it to, and they would wish it would, it's not going to. It doesn't matter who engages in adulterous behavior. God has commanded us to stay away from it. It may be glamorized in Hollywood. It may even be engaged in by a large percentage of the population and ignored by society as a whole. But church, that will never change what God has said about it. Next, it shows that it's the standard that's revealed. That's what it shows next. So Jesus said this. He said, "You have heard that it was said," right? This was not some new doctrine that Jesus was hoping to teach the people he was talking to here. It's nothing new he was trying to teach them. It wasn't something they had never heard of, and it was so foreign to them that it was going to be hard for them to grasp, right? It was accepted and embraced as a standard for purity in a marital relationship by those who sought to live according to God's word, right? That was expected. As I preach this message, just like when I preach anytime, just FYI, I'm not preaching anything new, right? I'm not preaching anything new here this morning either. We've all been taught of God's requirements regarding marital purity. And if you haven't, you will learn that, but that's what the Bible says. However, church, I fear that many of us, like a lot of things, we want to ignore commands of purity. It's easier to have the desires of the flesh, isn't it? You will have to agree that our conscience, though, if nothing else, would teach us that adultery is wrong, right? Our conscience, it goes against the whole idea, right? In our civilized Western culture, marital purity is usually expected. When you get married, if you're willing to get married, you expect to have a marriage where everyone stays pure to each other. That's expected. That is definitely God's standard, and it is the standard accepted by many even today, right? Even many who are actually guilty of adultery themselves or engaging in it would probably admit that it's wrong, right? And it's wrong. It also shows the sentiment revealed. So, as we consider Jesus' teaching on adultery, we realize it must have been prevalent in that society for him to have addressed it in this message, right? We have to assume that he said it for a reason, okay? I'm convinced he was addressing a real problem that the Jews faced in their culture, okay? They knew what the Bible said, and they understood that the commandments of God, they understood the commandments, and yet they chose to ignore God's teaching and live as they pleased, right? We do it every day. Sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we do realize it. Is that not largely the sentiment that we have today with a lot of things? Most today that choose to engage in adultery are well aware that it's wrong, right? If they didn't believe it was wrong, why would they be so secretive about it, right? If you have to be secretive about something, then is probably not the right thing to be doing. Humanity, in a large part, has chosen to disregard the teaching of God's word in order to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, right? I'm going to say that one more time. Humanity, in large part, has chosen to disregard the teaching of God's word in order to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we're talking about adultery here this morning. But this whole idea can be applied to all sins, church. They are all lust of the flesh. And if you don't take anything from this towards adultery, you can take it towards helping you combat any sin. So, that was the original issue. Now Jesus is going to expand the issue. Okay? So he goes on in verse 28 and he says this: "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Okay? The Jews had their perception, right, of that which constituted adultery already. But Jesus, he expanded that idea. He expanded upon that idea. Church, he revealed that adultery is not confined to a physical act, but it can be also committed within the heart, right? So we're going to consider a couple things here under the issue expanded. So the first one is the authority, okay? He says, "But I say to you." So the majority of the Jews held God's word in high regard, right? They, having no problem with its authority, God's word, right? But many were skeptical of Jesus. Many were skeptical of his teachings, right? Jesus was well aware of their unbelief and their skepticism. Okay? Of course he was. He was Jesus. And yet, with authority, he expands upon what God had said. Who better to know what was written in the Word than the Word himself, right? Jesus knew what was written. He wrote it. He was the Word, right? The world assumes they are accountable to no one, and as long as it isn't a criminal offense, church, many have no problem in engaging in sinful acts. Many even have no problem who aren't even engaging those sinful acts, but to turn their eyes away from it and pretend it's not happening. Let me just say, though, there is a lot that the law of our land today defines as permissible that God says is a sin. Amen? Many refuse to submit to the Word of God and its teaching, but all men, saved and sinner alike, that will stand before God's judgment. It's going to happen. We have to repent, church. Christ has spoken specifically in this text regarding adultery, and his word will stand. Amen. The next point is the appetite. Okay? So he said, that whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Right? Many of the Jews felt as if they were all right as long as they hadn't committed the physical act of adultery. Right? Jesus expands the sin of adultery to include looking on another with a lustful passion and desire, right? Now, don't get me wrong, the idea of looking here does not refer to a casual glance, okay? I don't want you to get scared if you ever look at somebody, it's wrong. We have all had instances where we've seen things that we'd rather have not seen, right? Okay? Our eyes are going to see whether we want them to or not. That's what they do. God will not hold us accountable for merely looking at someone else. That's not the sin. The idea here is looking for an extended period of time with the intent of satisfying lustful pleasures. Okay? Church, it begins with the eyes and it moves to the heart. Okay? When a glance turns into a continued look, and that turns into lustful thoughts and desires, that's the sin. Okay? The next point is the adultery. So he said that whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So this is difficult to embrace, but it's truth. Okay? It's hard for us to accept. The same way it's hard to accept anyone who thinks ill or evil of someone has already committed murder in their heart for them. That's hard for us to accept, isn't it? Because I don't want them to die. No. Jesus is declaring that those who have looked with lust, seeking to fulfill their passions, church, have already committed adultery with them in their hearts. They may not be guilty of the physical act, right? But in their eyes, in the eyes of God, it is adulterous nonetheless. He taught that there is much more to purity than keeping ourselves physically pure, right? Certainly that is expected and required of the Lord, but our purity before the Lord involves much more than our physical actions. It also involves our thoughts and our heart, church, our desires. When a man or a woman look on another and has lustful thoughts, the Lord declares they have committed adultery with the heart, and that is an adulterous act. So we saw now the issue upgraded, basically. Now we're going to look at the answer. And there is an answer, right? And you're going to love the answer. No, you probably won't. It's in verse 29 through 30, okay? Our Lord never points out sin and rebellion in our lives without offering a means of dealing with that sin, church. He wants to see us succeed, right? He revealed a means of deliverance from the lusts of the flesh and adultery in these verses. So the first point is the principle, okay? Jesus says in verse 29 through 30 this. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into hell. Well, there you go. There's your answer, right? No. Clearly, Jesus is speaking to the seriousness of what he had discussed, right? It's serious. These are severe actions, per se. Plucking out your own eye, cutting off your hand. These are serious actions that would result in severe implications for the remainder of your life, right? We cannot read these verses and miss the severity and the seriousness with which Jesus spoke. This was serious. Some commentators believe Jesus was speaking figuratively in these verses. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I do believe the truth of 1 John 1:9 when he says, "But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, forgiving us our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness," right? Church, God will forgive sin that we confess, right? I do believe that Jesus taught that we must blind. I do not believe, sorry, that Jesus taught that we must blind or maim ourselves in order to be forgiven. That's not needed. He is simply illustrating a point here. He's simply illustrating the seriousness of this issue. However, if this were the only way one could overcome the temptation and sin of adultery, then Jesus is saying that it would certainly be worth it right? So, the next point is the promise, the prominence. So, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Jesus is emphasizing, church, the importance of dealing with the issue of the heart and escaping the snare of adultery, right? We don't have to physically cut off our hand to get away from many of the things of adultery. All we have to do is cut off the thing our hand is holding for the most part. That will deal with a lot of the things we go through in today's society, right? It's interesting that he specified, pluck out your right eye, pluck out your right hand, or cut off your right hand. The Jews believed the right eye and the right arm were superior to the left counterparts, okay? In their estimate, both of those body parts were more valuable than the other. Jesus is revealing that one must be willing to make a great sacrifice and if necessary to overcome this sin and live according to the demands of God. Okay? We have to be willing to make that sacrifice because it's that important, right? Now, I can't imagine this, but if you can, maybe we should talk. I can't imagine plucking out my eye or cutting off my arm, right, or hand. And by no means am I encouraging anyone to do that, but we have to recognize, church, the significance of the lesson behind it. If we are saved, our bodies, they're what? They're a temple for the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. We have been bought with a price, and we're expected to live lives that honor God. It is impossible to do that when our lives are consumed and dictated by the lust of the flesh, right? They can't live in harmony together. They can't do that. Church, we have to be willing to make whatever sacrifice necessary to achieve a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. And I want to remind you that we'll never be perfect, okay? So don't let that scare you. But you have to be working towards it. The last point of the answer is the prophet. So twice in these verses, Jesus states the same thing. He says, it is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into hell. And then he goes on to say, it is better to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into hell. Once again, he's pointing to the seriousness of this issue, right? The seriousness that is at stake for the people, the Jewish people here. Jesus sought to install that profound truth in the hearts and minds of those who were hearing him speak. It always pays to live for the Lord, no matter what the cost, right? We could have all that this world has to offer and enjoy every pleasure it affords, church. And yet if we died lost apart from God, what would it profit? It'd profit nothing. As I close this morning, and I invite Margaret to come get situated, I want you to know that I tried to find a lighthearted way to talk about adultery. I wanted to do that more than anything. I wanted to stick a joke here and there, but I just couldn't do it, right? I was understanding that this is an issue that rips families apart, and it's a touchy issue, and it's not to be taken lightly, right? Church, we're incapable in ourselves to avoid all the pitfalls and snares of the flesh. It's impossible. We cannot live lives that honor the Lord on our own. We must have His help. We must have His guidance. We can't overcome the urges of adultery or any other sin apart from the Lord, right? We can't do it. So I challenge you. If this is a need in your life, I urge you to seek the Lord on it. And I'm not just talking about physical act of adultery. Are your eyes wandering? Are they looking too long? Are you thinking things you shouldn't be? You gotta get it before it turns into something else. You gotta bring it before the Lord. Now this morning, instead of doing the song and praying, I wanted to pray, and then we're going to do our song. So I ask you to join with me as we close in prayer this morning.